This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, I testify there is no God but the one God, the creator of the universe and all it contains, and I testify that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last messenger and prophet of God. And I greet you with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we're looking at the topic of building bridges between ourselves as believers or between our faith community and our places of work and our places of employment, one of the main things we need to look at is our character as a Muslim or as a mu'min. Because the character and the character that we demonstrate to those people around us is going to be a key factor in making sure that these bridges are built on sound footing. If we look back through our history and Islamic history, and we see how this faith was spread, and we look at the people who came at the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, his companions, and those after Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how they took this message of truth to other lands, primarily through their nomadic tribal nature, and also because of the trading and the merchant work that they did outside of the Arabian Peninsula. Muhammad himself being a trader and a merchant, especially right from his youth, working with and for his first wife Khadija. The character of these believers of that time is often what drew the people of the lands they visited towards a better understanding of their faith. Because being a minority as a believer, as we are minorities here in North America, many times the only interaction that you have with the outside world, if you will, of outside of your faith community, is through the employment and the work that you do. And oftentimes we find, especially here in North America, people within their realm of employment or within their jobs, especially if you are a minority as a believer, they may take the subject of religion or faith in general to be very personal. And therefore, taking faith and religion into the workplace can often be a disastrous, have disastrous consequences, because many times people look upon it as though you're preaching or you're bringing something into the workplace that should not be there. And sometimes there's major double standards with this. People will come back after the Christmas holidays and talk about the partying that they did and the fun that they had in some cases. And that is socially acceptable. Whereas to bring religion into the workplace is often looked upon as, you know, not the right thing to do. So we have to be very sensitive and very cautious of how we carry our faith with us and in our characters and especially into the workplace. And more often than not, the best way to do this is, as I say, by going back to our character and letting our ideals, letting our faith, letting our beliefs shine through our behavior and our interaction with our co-workers, instead of trying to, you know, hit them over the head with brochure-style Islam, where we're trying to propagate a faith perspective, instead of actually honestly trying to show our character and the strengths of our character, which are brought to us and which we nurture and which we cultivate in ourselves based upon the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, peace be upon him. What I've done is tried to put together a brief list of things that we can try and weave into our relationships with our coworkers, and things that we might want to try and, you know, stitches that we might want to try and pull out of the current fabric of our work situation in our places of employment. Things which are good to do, proactive, and things which we need to try and back off from doing as we enter into the workplace as believers and as Muslims. It's going to be different in all of our circumstances because all workplaces are different. Working in a business environment, working for Microsoft, is a lot different than working for Ford or working for a major car company when you're working on the line. Working in retail is a lot more, a lot different than working in a sales, you know, internal job position. So every job is very, very different. And each of us has to sort of assess our environments and where we are before we begin thinking about how we can weave our faith into our work environment. One thing that will make it helpful for us, no matter what work environment we are in, is if we are surrounded by people who are like-minded when it comes to standing up for what is truthful, standing up for what is good, and standing up for what is pure. So if you have co-workers who are Christian or Jewish or Hindu, Sikh, whatever their faith perspective is, chances are it'll be a little bit easier for you to get your ideals across and to get your message of truth across through your own behavior, because many of those messages of truth which we share with our brothers and sisters in faith are one and the same message. As we know, there is only one religion according to God, and that is surrender and submission to Him. And all dogma that we see around us in the world, it comes from that essence of surrender to God in some form or another. So there's always going to be footings of compatibility between yourself and other co-workers who are believers in truth, in justice, and in peace. That will definitely make your task easier. When we move into the workplace, and we think about trying to demonstrate the best character that we can possibly have to show people the essence of what Muhammad, peace be upon him, stood for as an individual, as a man, and as a prophet of God, we need to look at various different character traits. I've listed them here in no particular order, but the first one I came to my mind was fairness in business dealings. And business dealings could mean if you are working in retail, if you are yourself or an employer, or if you are just working in any sort of work environment, anything that deals with your business, you should make sure that you as an individual, whether you work as an individual or whether you work as part of a team, fairness should be part of that work that you do. And there's many things which God has revealed in the Quran about fairness in business, about how to be a fair business, deal fairly in business. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, was very explicit in a number of different matters when it dealt with fairness in regards to work and business transactions. Right from the employer, who Muhammad, peace be upon him, is reported to have said should pay his worker before the sweat dries on their brow, right to the fairness of profit which is gained off of a specific product. So making sure that you're not cheating people out of a product which is cheap and acquiring an overabundance, you know, beyond what you should be. You shouldn't be trying to cheat people. There's also the understanding, you write down two examples where Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave that if the grain on the top of the pile of grain in the marketplace, thinking back to the time of the Prophet, the grain on the top is nice, but the grain underneath is wet, or could be, you know, be moldy, or prospectively, you know, get moldy, that this should not be something which is sold. This is unfair. This is like what we would call false advertisement. So these are certain, you know, elements of how Muhammad, peace be upon him, dealt fairly in his business transactions with people. To the extent where, you know, even loaning and lending money was something that Muhammad, peace be upon him, at one time when he borrowed money from someone who was Jewish and didn't pay that money back on time, and that individual demanded the money back. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, recognized that he himself should have paid that money on time, but wasn't in a position to do it. And he asked Omar, his companion, who was very upset that the Jewish man had come forward requesting the money, you know, promptly, he asked Omar, he said, to instruct the seeker of the loan on how to be a better, you know, how to ask for his money in a better way, and to instruct him, instruct Muhammad himself, peace be upon him, on how to be a better borrower of money. So when it comes to business transactions, financial transactions, fairness is crucial. And that fairness will show through. People will begin to see it in our behavior if we can show them truthful and absolute fairness. I can't explain to you the number of times that I've been in a grocery store, or I've been with people who've been shopping, or experiences I've had where the store clerk has, you know, given me more change than was due, or as I've been with people where they've received more change than was due. And when you go back to them and you say, I think there's been a mistake, I owe you some money, they're shocked when they see that someone's actually going to be honest, you know. And most often they'll say that, I can't believe you just came back and have made, you know, pointed this error out. Because most often people want to get what they can get and get out. And if there's a mistake and it's in favor of them, they don't say anything about it. If we can be in our business environments and be fair constantly and consistently, this is really a powerful trait. Organization of our lives and organization of our workplace is also something which is really important. When you look at our ritual aspects of faith within this belief system that God has given us, use Salah as an example, our prayer. How meticulous we need to be when it comes to our ablutions before prayer, our wudu. Our prayer itself, everything is structured and is timed, is measured. There's a specific way, a specific method, right down to the fact that you always hear the imam before the prayer remind us to stand shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe, that there's a specific order and arrangement. Within our workplace, we should carry that discipline to the work that we do. Too often, you look at people's workplaces and it's just a complete disarray, a mess, you know. And that says something about a person's character. It tends to be that people will subconsciously gather, if there is mess, there is dirt. And if there is dirt, there is discomfort. And so if we are someone who is cluttered and messy, although we may be very clean, that may not be the message we're sending. And so the important thing with our character is to remain neat, remain organized, remain clean. And this comes down to our clothing, our way of dress, our hygiene. This is very important. You know, I meet many brothers and sisters, you know, who will be very meticulous about wudu, but when it comes to personal grooming, won't have a clue of how to present themselves in a way which is aesthetically, you know, pleasing or acceptably, you know, appropriate within a business setting. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, was someone who encouraged people to take pride, good pride, pride with thankfulness to God in their behavior and in their manner of dress. You know, that when the disheveled man came with messy hair, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, if you're going to let your hair grow, comb it. You know, and Muhammad himself, peace be upon him, who was very conscientious about his grooming, about his brushing of the teeth, to the extent that the companions were almost under the impression that brushing the teeth before prayer five times a day was something which would be part of wudu. He did it so often. So, personal organization, personal grooming, this is all very important. And if we can present ourselves in a professional, polished way, it says something about our self-esteem, about our self-dignity. And if someone traditionally and commonly carries himself with a certain amount of self-esteem and with dignity, then people will often expect that that person will also treat others with such self-esteem and dignity. Other positive characteristics we want to look at when it comes to our behavior, very simple things which Muhammad, peace be upon him, encouraged people to do when out in public. And these are things like smiling. It's very, very sad, but I've seen coloring books produced by you know, Islamic organizations. And I remember one of these coloring books I held up in front of a group of children, and I leafed through the pages and I said, do you notice anything about this coloring book that looks a little strange? And the children actually noticed that none of the characters in the coloring book were smiling. And I thought how sad that was. That Muhammad, peace be upon him, was very specific when he mentioned that smiling is even a form of charity. And to greet your brother or your sister or anyone around you with a smile is something which is an act of charity in itself. So being someone who's pleasant, who smiles, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, was known for his smile, you know, all the time. Even when people would come to him who were obnoxious, that his kindness and his smile were there. And that is a very difficult thing to do. If we can do that, even in the face of ridicule that people give us, what a tremendous statement we're making. The kindness and a kind word, you know, that a Muslim should say what is good or be silent. And very much of what we see in our work environments when it comes to social interaction around the water cooler, around the vending machine, you know, around the bathroom door, is conversation which is negative. People don't like to put across a positive persona. In many cases, you'll meet someone who you haven't seen for a long time, or an employee who you maybe don't bump into too often in the office, and you'll say to them, how are you doing? And what's the first answer that most people respond to is, oh, busy, busy, you know? It's a negative, oh, I'm busy, it's too much, you know? Instead of saying, I'm good, I'm all right, everything's all right, how are you doing? I'm busy, but I like being busy. There's a certain personality that we can put across to people which promotes optimism, promotes hopefulness. And this is the type of character which Muhammad, peace be upon him, exercised, even to his enemies. For us to take it into the workplace makes a powerful, powerful statement.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sponsor a program on the Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN. Expose your organization or business name to the listeners of IBN in the Washington, D.C. metro area and nationwide and worldwide through our live internet broadcast. Support IBN Dawah efforts. Make the call and sponsor a program today. Get your name into thousands of homes nationwide and worldwide. For more information, call IBN
at 703-241-9659.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Again, optimism and hopefulness in characteristics, not being someone who's a complainer, you know. And it's very easy, especially if you're in a hard-working environment where there's a lot of physical labor, it's easy for people to get into this vibe of being, you know, hard done by. If we can try and combat that with positive, you know, uplifting, you know, personality traits, humor, a sense of humor, it goes a long way. Honesty and truthfulness is another character, Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought to the people around him, and which we can take into the workplace. And this is one where a lot of people might think, well, I'm honest, I'm truthful. But it was once explained to me that any commitment we make as believers in God, any commitment that we make to anyone, if we are making a promise, it is as though we've made that promise to God. And so therefore, whether it doesn't matter whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim, who we're making the promise to. If you sign the back of your driver's license and state that you will abide by those laws and you speed on the highway, then you are breaking a law and you are breaking a commitment that needs to be, you know, assessed. And the same goes for our workplace. How many of us will see no harm at all in using company photocopiers without, you know, paying back that money which we've used? Some people do it on a grand scale. Taking pens, pencils, sticky notes, you know, anything from the desk that we may use at our workplace home with us. Don't take anything of this as being theft when in fact it is theft. And another, way of looking at theft is with the time spent at work. I know of an individual who told me about her father used to work in a factory where you would have to get out of your car at the gate and you would go punch in at the gate and go into the factory. And they would sometimes drop her father off at work when she was younger, she said, and they would see people come up to the gate, go up to the gate, punch in, get in their car and drive away. And then come back at the end of the day and punch in again. That sort of behavior hopefully none of us would engage in. But any sort of mismanagement of time, sitting on the internet during business hours, dealing with personal emails, this sort of thing is time and money which you're being paid for and time which you are not putting into your job. That honesty will eventually come out in the wash if you are ever assessed, and our jobs are a manna for us. Positive interaction with all genders and gender relations. This is also really important. Forgiveness of co-workers' inabilities to keep up with workload. Trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. Remember, Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, mentioned that if your servant does something which you know, you find out of the ordinary or you find which might not be to your liking, you should give 70 excuses as to why that happened, because perhaps there was a reason why your servant did that thing. If that is the respect and the dignity and the you know, forgiveness and tolerance which Muhammad, peace be upon him, suggested we give to a servant, how about to our friends and brothers in faith, to our co-workers, to our colleagues around us? We should also be hard workers, and we should be known for being hard workers, especially if we are you know, believers who may be of a cultural minority as well. People may be skeptical about our behavior and our ability to work hard, especially if they have racist or if they have some sort of bias against our faith group or against our nationality. Working hard and showing that you can be a hard worker is an incredible way of letting people know that you're dedicated to your job, and it says an awful lot about your character. Muhammad, peace be upon him, he mentioned that when he said that it's better to go to the, as an example, someone who came to him, but he, Muhammad, peace be upon him, defined that you should, if you don't have work to do, you go to the mountains, pick, you know, sticks, come back and sell them as firewood. Do whatever you can to remain busy and not be idle. Humility in the workplace is also an important characteristic that we need to bring with us. Things we should try and avoid in the workplace, trying to help people understand what it means to be a believer in God and to give them a good idea of God consciousness, is not use our religion and our faith as an excuse. For example, too often people will say, are you coming to the Christmas party? Say, no, I can't come because my religion doesn't allow it. Or, do you want to come out for a drink after? No, I can't drink because my religion doesn't allow it. These are things which are high weaknesses. They make us look very weak. It's not a question of our religion, you know, doesn't allow it and we can't do it. You don't have to be a Muslim if you don't want to be. You know, truth is clear from error and you're free to choose whatever path you want to choose. If you've taken your Shahada and you choose to be a believer in God and you choose to adopt the way of life which Muhammad, peace be upon him, has brought to us, then it's not a question of I can't drink. It's a question of I don't drink. It's a question of no thank you for inviting me, but I'm not going to come. And if you have an opportunity to explain why. Instead of saying, excuse me, I have to go pray now, you say, excuse me, I'm taking my break because I want to go pray now. And there's a big difference in people's minds when they understand that you're doing something because you want to and not because you're a slave to the institution. It's a big difference between being a slave to the institution and a slave to the Creator. Be that as may, we can't be judgmental when people do invite us. If we're invited out to drink, if we're invited to a Christmas party or whatever, we can't be judgmental. I've seen situations as well where there'll be brothers who will sit down at a table and there'll be non-Muslims around who are about to eat. Maybe some of them will be eating pork. And the brothers will say, oh, you know, you shouldn't eat that stuff, because you know what they do to the pigs, and you know about all the chemicals. And here's someone about to eat their lunch, and someone else is giving them the whole rigmarole about how filthy pigs are, and the bacteria, and this and that. And it's not an appropriate way of helping people understand the Islamic dietary laws. People who choose to eat certain foods because of their faith, or because of what they believe, that is their choice. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَا دِينَ That's your religion, and to me, my religion. But we can make a statement by being honest and sincere about what we prefer for ourselves. And sometimes the integrity which comes along with that, with allowing somebody the freedom to be who they are, but not compromising who you are, speaks volumes, far more than giving long fatwas about why we do or do not eat pork or drink alcohol. We should not go overboard in demanding our rights as well. We do have rights, and in some countries, in some states, and I know in Canada, there are specific law acts which grant people of faith certain rights, whether it's to you know, food rights or places to pray, and that is helpful to us, but we have to be sensitive and case out our work environment. If you're working in a hostile work environment and you are fighting tooth and nail for a 1 foot square piece of space in your office or in your factory so you can make sajda during the day, and you're going to fight until everyone in that office hates your guts and think that you're going to have a positive effect on those people with regards to helping them understand Islam, because they see you praying on the floor because of the obnoxious fighting that you did, you're very wrong. You have to be modest, you have to be humble in the approach. And more often than not, if you find a way to steal away to pray without making a big show of it, people will often be much more sensitive to your needs than if you kick and scream and demand this or demand that. Again, every situation is different. But overall, we have to be humble in our approach for acquiring the opportunity, because the purpose is not to pray where everyone can see you so they all know you're a Muslim. The purpose of prayer is to take that time away during the day to communicate with your Creator. That people will respect. Fighting tooth and nail to be demonstrative about your faith is something people will not respect, and many people will actually look upon it as cheap. Trying to avoid statements like, in my religion, and or statements like, in my culture, or in my faith, or in Islam we do this, or in my culture we do this. Trying to avoid these statements, which create the box mentality. This is mine and that's yours. My religion, your religion. My culture, your culture. Again, if people in the work environment are already sensitive to the differences that may exist between cultural backgrounds or religions, you don't want to keep drawing attention to those differences. You want to draw attention to similarities. Most people do not care when it comes down to it. If you explain to them about the rights of women, and there's a debate going on around the workplace lunch table about women's rights or how women are abused in society, if you come forward with a statement like, well, in Islam, we believe this, or in Islam, or in my religion, it automatically can take on a viewpoint of arrogance, as though you're setting yourself above the discussion. And it's also one of weakness. We believe this in Islam. It's much more integral and much more powerful to people to let them know that you believe what you believe because you believe it. And that's all part of taking the Shahada. If we take the testimony of faith, we testify, I bear witness, there is no deity but God. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the last messenger. It's not a case of, I'm going to join this because you guys look good and I want to be able to have you to back me up. So using statements like, I avoid alcohol because, or I don't practice that, or I don't prefer that because, or I believe such and such and such. Those are powerful statements which say something about a person's integrity. And oftentimes people will respect that you are ready to stand behind what you believe. And again, that testimony of faith is just that. You are standing behind verbally what you testify to. And so when you're with coworkers, to say, well, my religion says this and we do this, it makes it sound like you can't think for yourself. And if you are adult enough and mature enough to be able to make a testimony of faith, you should be adult and mature enough to say, I don't do that because of this. And that is me.
You are listening to the best lecture series We will be back after this short break.
Abu Sahl al-Quhi was born in 940 in Tabaristan, now known as Mazandaran in Iran. His work was mostly in mathematics and science, and he observed the summer and winter solstices in Shiraz, Iran. In 983, the caliph died, and his son took over. The caliph's son ordered al-Quhi to observe the then-known seven planets, and to perform this, an observatory was built in the garden of the palace in Baghdad. He wrote several mathematical books which dealt with quadratic equations, and also about the construction of an astrolabe, which is an instrument to observe the altitude of an object. Abu Sahl al-Quhi died at around 1000 AD at 60 years old. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN. IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Gifts that we can give to people are another great way of helping to bridge gaps within our community. Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that to give gifts strengthens love. Strengthens love between brothers, between sisters in faith. And so this can transcend into our workplace of bringing gifts. And it's amazing. Sometimes the littlest thing. The workplace is a mundane environment that people go to. They have to go there, and sometimes it can become very boring. So if you pop in one day in the morning with a box of chocolates or some nice sweets, and you just leave them on the work table for people to munch on during the day, when they pass through, it says a lot. People will get to know you as someone who gives, who's giving, who's thinking of them when you don't have to be. Again, celebrations, at times of celebration, whether it be Christmas, New Year's, Eid, Hanukkah, whatever, you can use those as opportunities to wish well to your coworkers. To give them an opportunity to look into the festivals which are celebrated within the Muslim community as well. One suggestion as well is to avoid politics, especially during these times, because people are bombarded with politics on the news. Many people form opinions based on just what they've seen on TV, or what they read in the newspapers. So when it comes down to it, discussing politics or even discussing theology within the workplace is not a productive place to do it. If you find a coworker who is keen to find out more about your faith, invite him over for dinner. Invite her over to visit with your family so that there's an opportunity for them to learn about the faith in a setting that is positive and that is going to promote discussion. Not when you're standing around the work table, you've only got 5 minutes, and it's easy to get into conversation that never gets concluded and can leave people very confused. And don't focus on the Muslim perspective. If politics is ever raised and anybody ever asks your opinion, don't focus on the Muslim perspective. Focus on the perspective of what is truthful and what is just and what is fair. Because everyone can identify with that. If you bring up the Muslim perspective, anyone working around you in your environment who is not a Muslim is not going to necessarily appreciate your view, and quite honestly, they may not even care what your view is. But if you bring them truth, bring them justice, bring them things they can identify with, the people in the workplace will tend to want to be engaged in conversation. And when I've talked with brothers and sisters who use this approach, they are often amazed about how their coworkers, even on very sensitive issues like drug abuse or homosexuality or sex before marriage, how they will make, comments in favor of these sorts of vices, and the Muslim in the environment will not give a Muslim perspective clinical Muslim perspective, but will give a truthful perspective or another spin on the perspective, which will bring the people in the office completely around to a good understanding. A good analogy of this, it's kind of an embarrassing analogy, but in parts of Ontario where I live, there's legislation now in some cities to allow women to go topless in the summer months, or in the winter months too, I suppose, if they're brave enough. And a gentleman, a brother I know in Ontario, was in the workplace, and one of the women he works with got into a heated debate with him about how it should be fine. That if men can walk around in the summer months, you know, looking as horrendous as many men do, and not have shirts on, that it should be fine for women to walk around without their shirts on. And he made a comment to her about her physical, you know, body, and about how comfortable she would be if he were to walk up to her and touch her in some way, you know, on some part of the body between her neck and her waist. And she said, well, of course not. That would be an infringement of my privacy. He said, well, then what's the difference? If it's an infringement of the privacy, you know, to touch or to see. And the woman actually realized and said, you know, you're right. I never thought of it that way. And she completely changed her view on the legislation which had been put across. So, it's a sticky sort of example, but it provides the idea of how someone very passionate about a very extreme, topic can completely come around 360. Another thing which is important to look at is find a footing of conversation with people you work with based upon their interests. Islam, as a way of life and with what God has revealed in his recitation and through the life of Muhammad, we see is a diverse way of life which is wide open to encompassing people of all races, all cultures, all creeds, and all interests. And no matter who you work with, no matter what their personal hobbies are at home, you're going to be able to find something to come to common terms with with that individual that can be very Islamic in its nature. Very often we work with people in the workplace, but we don't take the time to get to know them personally. And a good example of this, a sister I know who was working in a university and had a lot of difficulty in her office and in the area where she was working with people mocking Muslims around the world, mocking the situation, you know, in Afghanistan in recent months. And the sister had a lot of difficulty. She found one of the ladies she worked with had a very sort of spiritual approach and loved gardening. And so the sister actually went to the lady's house and shot some photographs of her garden, and the two of them sort of paired up on that hobby of gardening to be able to share something which was very beautiful and very, very special and definitely Islamic in its approach. Some of the main problems, just in closing, that we need to be aware of within the workplace, and some of the main ones that come across, are the male-female interaction. That's often a big dilemma for people in the workplace, Muslims in the workplace. Food and fasting, you know, dealing with issues about food where there's a potluck lunch at work and you're not quite sure what's in the food. Place of prayer, we talked about that. Prayer at Juma, making Juma on Fridays. Clothing, hijab or beard. And these are issues which need to be handled with humility and with modesty to the best degree that we can muster. We need to be relaxed, especially when it comes to male-female interaction. We have to understand, you know, that the interaction between male and female here in North America is inevitable if you are going to be working in the outward secular society. And when you're in that environment, what's most important to do is safeguard your integrity by just being honest, being yourself, and being relaxed, and being pleasant, smiling. You know, don't make a big over issue about things. You know, a woman touches your hand by accident if you're a man and you freak out, then all of a sudden that's going to say something about your perspective. But if you handle it in stride and you understand that the people working around you, they're not aware of the dietary regulations. They're not aware of the interaction between male and female. They're not necessarily aware of the fact that we may need a place to pray or of the clothing that we wear. So to take it in stride, I mean, I'll give you a good example of this. I worked for many years in an office that knew me for a good 5 years before I embraced Islam. So they knew me as David, and they knew all the things that I did at that time in my life. And when I embraced Islam, suddenly I was changing a few things about my behavior. And my boss, wonderful, wonderful lady, complete inspiration. I mean, I've never met anyone else, you know, very few people like this. But she was a very touchy-feely person, always liked to greet people with a hug. And when I embraced Islam, I sort of made it known. I said, you know, there's certain personal space that I've always had, and I just wanted to kind of let you know that it's maybe not the right, you know, way for me to greet, and this is not quite something which I'm comfortable with, and just to let you know. And we joked about it, and now we've got this joke when we do meet, where she'll approach me, I'll approach her, and just before we get close, she'll hug herself and I'll hug myself in sort of a jestful kind of ha ha ha, because she wants to do something good, but she knows that it's not something I am comfortable with, and I want to appreciate her approach, but know that there has to be some integrity maintained. And so in a jovial, jestful way, we were able to find a compromise which lets her know I am a Muslim, and lets her know, lets me know that she still cares about me as an individual. So these are some tricks and some tips that we may want to look at as we take our faith into the workplace In summing up, to be known not just as Ahmed the Muslim or Sara the Muslim who works in such and such a department, but to be known as a kind person, a real person, a trustworthy person, an honest person, somebody who offers people a ride home from work if they need it, who's ready to pick people up, bring them to work if they need it, who's ready to take over a shift for somebody if they can't make it, if they're sick, that you're there on call, you're there to help your coworkers. And even though we may be known amongst the office or amongst our staff as the goody two-shoes or the naive person who doesn't necessarily like to sit around and discuss sex at the lunch table, in the end, when it all comes down to it, you may find, if you're the only Muslim employee in your work environment and you exercise some of these very basic traits which Muhammad, peace be upon him, himself brought to us, you may find that when push comes to shove, you may be the one that people come to for assistance. You may be the one that coworkers come to bend an ear sometimes when there's some personal trouble in their own lives at home. You may be the one who's come to by the boss and approached with a raise if you're the one who is exercising that good character, and the character of a Muslim, the character of a mu'min, and the character of a God-conscious individual. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
This is Yusuf Estes speaking to you on behalf of the Islamic Broadcasting Network, a subsidiary of the Islamic Media Foundation. We would like at the Islam Today Project to endorse and encourage all of us to contribute to this wonderful project. After all, we in America need to have our voice, and IBN is the voice of American Muslims. Your contribution of a single dollar per day will help keep IBN on the air. As long as Islamic Broadcasting Network is on the air, you'll be able to hear the voice of Yusuf Estes on Islam Today. So we have a vested interest, more than one way, to keep IBN on the air and the voice of American Muslims. Seriously, I want to let you know that I personally have made my commitment to the $1 a day to help keep Islamic Broadcasting Network broadcasting. And I'd hope that you'll do the same thing. It's a simple dollar. A cup of coffee, a Pepsi, and it's only $1. Make the commitment now. Go to the internet, type in IBN.net, and see how you can make your contribution through the internet, or call. Pick up the telephone and call 703-241-9659. Let me repeat the number again. If you're driving, don't have a wreck, you can go to the internet and get it there. 703-241-9659. It's a dollar a day. It keeps IBN out there on the air for American Muslims. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Malik Mujahid, and brother Dawood wants PLE, brother Safa Zarzur, tired but with energy, and sister Hannah Alameen. Thank you all of you for coming, and forgive me for taking so much time with all of you. This discussion is about building bridges at the workplace. A workplace normally is for work, and that's what we are hired to do, that's what we're paid for do. But we are human beings, we cannot stop ourselves from being just slaves at a workplace. We do a lot of other things. One of the things which we do is bridge building. Now, how the bridge building goes on in an environment which is all cemented, air conditions is working, and you get in and you want to get out of that place, how do you use that time for bridge building?
I think you start out by being a good worker. If you are working for someone or somewhere where people look at you and see someone who is responsible, who's honest, who comes to work on time, do their work. If they have extra time, they help others, who are plain dealing, no games, and someone who earns respect. To me, that's the very bottom line, first level of
bridge. It sounds to me like a person who doesn't want to have any fun, doesn't want to attend a party, just trying to behave right, upright, and he's just, too busy with himself.
No, I said that's the bottom, that's the basis. I mean, that's the basis. First, you earn respect as a person who is productive and who is good. Then, as you work, no one can maintain a complete serious, appearance and practice all the time in a work situation. Most people spend more of their waking hours at work than they spend even at home. So at some point you're going to relax and, people are get to know you more, etc. But the idea is that if you have not earned their respect as a human being, as a worker, there is no bridge building. They will not take you seriously. They will not respect you. They will just, basically think of you as a flake.
Okay.
So bridge building starts with being credible.
Well, let me bring my case here. First job at the University of Chicago, working at the library, and I was given to do this job. I diligently tried to do my job, and in 2 hours my job was done. I asked, is there anything I can do? He gave me more things to do, and I was done in another 2 hours. In few days, the people on the floor approached me, "Malik, you're making us look bad." First, I didn't understand how come I'm making somebody look bad. And I was told, you're given a job for a day, you finish up in 2 hours, and it looks like that we are not working. So how do I deal? I mean, people I'm supposed to work with, build bridges, they're telling me to, I shouldn't be that diligent. I mean, what you're saying flies right in the face. What should I do in that situation?
Well, maybe one example that he uses too, if you're done with what you're doing, then
help
move
them.
On and exactly, and help them in what they're doing. And in your case, maybe they would think that, he's just trying to prove that he's finished, and now he has to come over and help us finish. Maybe you could help them first, and then do your work if you want to do it like that. But.
And that's one way, is to help them instead of going back to the head honcho and say, give me more work. Mm-hmm. You can go and make sure that their load is a bit easier. I mean, there's ways. It is common sense at the end. You definitely do not want to, at the same time, if you truly believe that the reason they're not finishing their work, it's because they're dragging their feet and whatever, I would say, that's their problem at that point. But if truly somehow they are struggling with what they are doing and you somehow are able to finish earlier, maybe the more proper thing is to go help them. And that would be an opportunity to build bridges. That's the idea, is that you just take it as it comes, and you try to make sure that your colleagues look at you as someone who's credible and who they can rely on and interact with and have a relation with.
What about party? You guys party?
The right kind of party.
Oh, again, you brought your philosophy, right kind of party. Party
sure.
At job.
Sure.
You want to attend the party?
It depends.
What about if there is alcohol?
It depends on the party.
No.
You don't want to attend party with alcohol.
You build your bridge to the point where it doesn't sacrifice your duties to Allah. So if
we're not asking you to drink.
But you're asking me to sit with people who are drinking.
What do you say?
I'm not saying much, actually. I'm just kind of watching this whole thing.
Yeah, the tennis ball.
Match here of, But the one thing that keeps coming to my mind with all this, and especially I think this it culminates with this question, is the concept that when you're in a work environment, it is also a social environment. Well, I mean, nowadays not really necessarily because you're sitting in front of a tube for the whole day, but in a lot of healthy work environments, it's also a social environment.
It's no comment on sound vision and all
that's
that.
That's no comment on sound vision at all, just technology in general.
Yeah,
technology in general. But when you're in a work environment, you are also in a social environment, and sometimes that means using some wisdom as to how you deal with your colleagues. So, for example, in a job like where you described, where perhaps you can get all your work, and I've heard brothers and sisters who've given the same sort of frustration. They're in a job and they say, I'm working for 3 hours to get all my work done. These people just don't like to work. They just like to socialize. If that's the tone that's set by the management, or if that's the tone which is set by the supervisors, and you rub against that grain too much, you could find yourself in some difficulty where everyone on the staff is looking at you, you know, as the goody two-shoes who's trying to make them all look bad. In which case, you know, count your blessings before you count what you're missing, as they always say. Use that as an opportunity to your advantage as well, that sometimes you may need to get your work done, you may need to slow down in your work. In order to give you that opportunity to catch the vibe of the office, to understand how the people work there, and to understand what that office situation is like. If it is that type of office where it is just a relaxed environment, that can be something which is good. It can make building your bridges socially even better. If you find that, you know, that doesn't challenge you as far as a job goes, or you feel that your conscience doesn't sit well with that, and your own supervisor doesn't necessarily think too badly of wasting a lot of time, then you may want to find another job. You know, it's a case where you need to assess out each individual circumstance and look at it as a social, you know, environment. As well, what you mentioned about drinking, you need to socially get to know those people personally, as you will over time, and find out what's the best way to respond to their invitations. Because sometimes people know what they're doing is not necessarily the right thing to do, whether it's drinking or flirting, you know, in the lunchroom. But if you are too quick to point that out, then it can create a holier than thou sort of mentality where people will just not want to deal with you anymore. So you need to be able to sit back, and if you're starting a new job, you need to take a good few months to really suss out that environment and find out where you fit into that and where you can begin building that bridge before trying to just go in there hammer and nails and expect that you're going to bridge lives with people who've been working without you for so long. Drinking as well is a very sensitive issue, especially, I mean, I know a lot of people who are involved in business, especially in influential roles as salesmen in top, you know, firms of media or wherever, where, you know, much of what goes along with that environment is, you know, business trips and travel, where cheating on one's spouse and prostitution and drug abuse and pornography is just a daily, you know, where one brother I know, you know, was told basically by his supervisor, you know, when the boys come from out east for our conference, you can either take them to the golf course, or you can take them to the strip club. So if you take them to the golf course, you'll bore them for the afternoon. I advise you to take them to the strip club because we need this deal. So when you're put in situations like that, you need to know who you are to be able to say, oh boy, I'm not going to do that, and what am I willing to do, and how far will I go to land this deal or to stay in this job. So you need to really suss out that environment. And part of that is knowing the social environment that comes along with the workplace that you're in.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us, and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
One of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
The following is NBA star Hakeem Olajuwon.
Conflict, confusion, loneliness, and doubt, they are all part of growing up. If you have problems like these, drugs won't make them go away. Not marijuana, not crack, not LSD, not cocaine, not heroin. Drugs only make things worse. Stand up for your life. Don't do drugs. You are worth it.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
So there cannot be a fatwa about the social situation. You allow yourself and the situation to see what is good and what is working. I mean, at the university situation where I was working, and most of the the luncheons and the academic dinners in which you are participating and discussing issues have alcohol available. Unfortunately, there are two ways to handle that. That first, you work on having soft drinks also available, and maybe you decide to leave before people started leaving their mind.
Yeah.
There is one way of handling that.
Another way I found is really helpful, because I've been in, especially within arts communities or within nonprofit communities where they like to entertain with wine and cheese or whatever, if it's absolutely unavoidable to have to make an appearance at some sort of event like that, I always find what helps me stay away from rooms where alcohol is being sold is to just keep yourself completely busy. You know, go roll up your sleeves, take off your suit coat, and help the waiting staff preparing things or cleaning up or just going around picking up empty, plates or whatever, anything to occupy your hands, occupy your time, so you don't have to be sitting and actually socializing with what's going on. You've made your appearance, you've helped out at the event, and you can usually then make a quick exit, and people aren't too offended that you haven't participated in some way. So keeping yourself busy, especially if your office setting or your work environment is also full of a lot of off-color jokes or pornography or those sorts of things, best thing is keep busy. This was the habit of the Sahaba as well. When they were out in the street and they passed by things which didn't concern them, they would just avoid it. And I think that's something which you can also exercise in the workplace too.
See, I always think of the saying of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, "Saddidu wa qaribu," which basically translates as "be a problem solver." That there is no quick fix. There is no definite answer to every definite situation. And "Saddidu wa qaribu," he really, when someone, people who have target practice as a hobby, when you want to shoot at a target, what do? You aim, right? You keep on going like that, until you kind of take your best shot, and then you pull the trigger. That's what is meant by saddidu wa qaribu, is that in any given situation, you weigh the situation. You keep on aiming at taking the absolute right decision in your mind at the moment, and then at some point you make your decision, and as long as you took care in making that decision and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in your conscious, then you just take that decision. And in some cases it is so absolutely clear, there is no question what you need to be doing. Someone, to close a deal wants you to involve yourself in haram, commit a haram. You walk out, you walk away no matter what the deal is. And then you move away from absolute situations into grayer and grayer and graying areas. And it's a matter of you using your judgment. And in different cases, it's different things. And you just take your best shot, and you make your best decision, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance and forgiveness.
Jazakallah. I mean, in this current situation in which, billions of dollars of people's money have been stolen in the corporate environment, in which accountants are found to be falsifying accounts, and major corporations are declaring false profits, and banks are helping them hide. In that non-ethical explosion which we see, I think a person at workplace being ethical is extraordinarily important. I came to know a person who was in a law firm and was doing good and was growing in their ranks. And he figured out that law firm actually is not, in some situation, is not working in the interest of a client, but more in their interest of how they can make more money. He tries to discuss, and they say, we're in it together, let's keep doing, because money-wise is no problem. Mm-hmm. But an ethical issue, he realized that problem, as a Muslim, he cannot allow, law firm robbing its own client. By falsifying different things, the same time is being, for example, billed to three parties. So he left that, went to a insurance company, and some of those lawyers and all that trying to deal with him, and he realized the billing problems and all of that there. So instead of just resigning from another job, he did resign from there, but he is coming up with an innovative solution, how to have transparency
and accountability in billing practices of the law firm and the insurance companies. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, being problem solver, I mean, it's very easy to quit. I mean, it takes guts to quit
in this
economy, but right. Quitting is still easy, but coming up with a solution.
Right. And you come across as a holier than thou when you quit, and people, you mm-hmm. know, it's you provided nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so the problem solving. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The problem solving is the key, mm-hmm. and every situation will have its own solution. And I think if you do it right, your value to your company and your value to people who know better increases, and your respect among the people who are your peers will increase also.
And it also happens that if you you know, make an effort, maybe your job place will be declared alcohol-free zone. The university I was, they certainly declared that alcohol is not should not be purchased in the campus on the university money, and in parties, the university will not be paying for the thing, which makes you think whether you want to attend or not. But being building bridges at workplace is where people are. Ideas, things, movement, discussion of politics, well, discussion of many other things as well, takes place there. Being there, participating, discussing, listening, contributing, helping, being Muslim and living Islam will open heart and build bridges. Bridges of understanding in which you are not some stranger with beard or a scarf, fighting for your rights, but a partner and a friend who is standing up for everyone's right. This is Malik Mujahid, and thank you very much for being with us. And Jazakumullah khair al-jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the Internet.